That's right. That's right. We got to have peace, y'all. This is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield. And we have a battlefield here, y'all. We got it in St. Louis. We got it in the state of Missouri. We got it in this country. In fact, we got it practically all over the world. So that is what global capitalism does to societies, to the planet, to the world. So we got work to do. Again, this is Jamala Rogers. I am here live at Aristotle State University, and the comments and views, you know, expressed today may or may not be that of Aristotle State University or Black Radio Hall of Fame, but we are going to proceed, and we got some stuff to talk about. But before I introduce my guest, who you all can see, I'm hoping that we are going live on Facebook. Last week was pretty inspiring for me. There was a couple of events that I attended. One was the boycott. I won't call it a boycott. It was actually an informational picket at Target so that people know that there is a boycott going on. And then later that evening, Tennessee State University's scholarship dance, annual dance. It was not the same without Martha J. West, but you know, we're going to continue the best we can. So raising money for the young people to go to a historically Black college, because the fool in the White House may be cutting all kinds of federal funds to the HBCUs, and so we might have to do our own thing to support these young people who are at those campuses. So having said that, you know, there's a lot going on, and I keep telling you the things that we have control of now. I don't know how much longer we'll have control over it, but we have control over our voice, our vote, and our money. And so right now, we got to use our voices to really educate one another about what's going on and get people involved. And then there's an election coming up, and so we got to be informed voters. And then last but not least is, where do we spend our money? And by and large, African Americans are consumers, and they depend on us in these markets, don't they? Yes, they do. And so when we stop buying, they feel the impact. So today, we have Brother Zaki Baruti, who is helping us locally target stores. And so he's going to talk about that particular campaign and how we can get involved. And then we'll talk about some of the other ones going on nationally. Welcome to the show, Zaki.
Well, thank you, Jamala, and I'm just honored to be here. Comment or two when your introduction song and music, Let's Do It Right, you know, in our lifetime. We have a duty as elders in our community and just as activists to work as hard as we can to transform this, I like to say, wicked society under capitalism to transform into a better situation for, you know, our children, our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
That's the task ahead. And then last but not least, in terms of an opening comment, I miss the Tennessee State gathering, and I'm proud to say one of my grandchildren is at the
You got to get there. They do this thing, Zaki, where, first of all, they call all the Greek organizations one by one, and then they get all the TSU alumni up there. And so so it really is camaraderie there, and you got intergenerational stuff there, so it's really beautiful.
Right, yeah. And I know Sister Martha West, who so many years dedicated herself to building that concept and supporting Tennessee State, because she was, of course, an alumni of Tennessee State.
Yeah, definitely. So, which mic are you not hearing, mine or his?
I'm not hearing something.
Okay, so as I can get up a little bit more.
How you doing? Okay.
Yeah, so because I wasn't hearing you in my earphone, but I thought it was just me. So you might, I know you're tall, but yeah, you'll have to lean in a little bit more.
Lean in.
Do I
need to repeat what I originally said?
No. Because I think some of it gets picked up by my mic, which is pretty strong. So, you know, we were at Target stores in Brentwood over the weekend, letting people know, first of all, that there is a boycott going on in the store because everybody doesn't know. In fact, I came across somebody this morning who didn't know. I said, I'm going to have my guest on and we're going to talk about Target. Said, well, what's going on with Target? So we can't assume everybody knows that. And so I think one of the reasons that you're here is because we just need to get the word out and other people can help us spread the word. So tell us about the boycott. Why Target and why now?
Okay, first of all, we have to, before I actually get into why Target, as you know, with the new administration under Trump, that there's been a widespread attack on DEI, which is diversity, inclusion, and equity. And okay.
You almost going to have to be touching it, kissing it.
Like a singer, all the way live.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And with this administration attack, which is really targeting black and poor people, that that needs to be a response, an organized response. So to that end, there's been a number of calls for folks to withdraw our dollars from various retailers to impact the economics of these retailers who have succumbed to the Trump administration call to end DEI and anything that's forward as it relates to helping us eradicate years of racism and redlining that our people have faced. So there have been a number of different calls that have been put out for boycotts. And I just happened to come across a call by a minister out of Atlanta, Reverend Jamal Bryan. And he was on the Roland Martin show. And I was so thoroughly impressed with his passionate call to have a 40-day fast / boycott of Target. And in his presentation, I was so impressed with how he identified some of the actually positive / negative impacts of DEI. He brought it out that, of course, black people benefited from it. However, white women benefited even greater than black folks from, you know, that initiative to address years of
And I would just interrupt, Daki. It's not even them. It's also the differently disabled. It's like including everybody. So the first thing that people think about, which is by design, is black folks. So then they say, let's kill everything that's associated with advancing black people. But then they don't realize there's a whole layers of people that it's going to impact.
Absolutely. And then he began to lay out his call. And his call was to push a lease or get a lease over 100,000 Christians, because he's a Christian minister, to support the call for his fast. And in that fast, he laid out what would be some of the objectives that I was truly appreciative. One was that, of course, when Target, succumbed to Trump's call to end DEI, that he is calling for that to be reinstated. But for me, that really grabbed me was it's also that after the murder of George Floyd, Target, which is, I think, based in Minneapolis, made a commitment to invest $2 billion into the black community. I want to repeat that, $2 billion. Along with, it had made a commitment to also invest into black banks a total of $250,000, you know, which could be very impactful for helping develop black businesses. So so that grabbed me, especially, like I said, that $2 billion.
Right, right.
And so recognizing that a quote from Dr. King, to the fact that we must use our boycott to against our oppressors, you know, and as in that, boycott your oppressors. So to that end, you know, we had a meeting of our organization, and at the same time, there was a lot of other concepts of boycotting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we decided that we will support two of them at that time. One against Target because of the call for what he had put out there for 40 days at least. And then if they don't respond within that 40 days or what have you, he made a commitment to continue the boycott until we break their backs. Mm. And so to that end, we made that commitment, as well as we had made a commitment for the boycott, I believe, called by Reverend L. Sharpton for a 24-hour blackout, not spending our money with, you know.
Right, that was February 28th.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we agreed to do those two pieces. And so to that end, to keep people informed, as you had said earlier, because I think much of his call is just per se on social media, we decided that we should do, as you had mentioned earlier, an informational picketing at one of the Target sites here in the St. Louis area, which was at the Brentwood Promenade. And I felt real good there because we had distributed a number of pieces of literature where we were educating the people why there was a call for the boycott, and ran into a number of people going into Target store looking like you and I, who were not aware of the boycott, yeah, and working to try to keep them from going in and spending their money. And even if they had committed to spending the money, to consider not doing it no more until, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, the boycott is completed, mm-hmm, and successful.
So I don't know if people heard it clearly, but Target's headquarters, its world headquarters, is in Minneapolis,
right,
which is where Brother Floyd was murdered. So apparently they felt compelled to make this kind of commitment. Now, $2 billion for them is a drop in the bucket, really.
Right.
I mean, you could tell that if that's what they were able to readily say. But I'm thinking that how quickly they were reneging on that based on what the convicted felon in the White House was ordering.
You mean, tell me, we got a convicted felon,
yes,
in the White House?
And the sexual predator at that.
And then 34 counts?
34 counts, right.
America would elect a criminal?
There you go. There you go. So it's not a surprise that all this criminal activity is going on in our country. But here's the thing. They are supposed to be good neighbors in the place where they are. And I'm thinking about the money that gets generated and what they were able to commit, and wondering how much of that actually went out the door before the man in the White House said no more. Because I think one of the things that we do, Zaki, is we start celebrating these people before they actually do the do. Okay, yeah, you said you were going to do that. Now let's wait and you get a pat on the back afterwards. So I'm wondering, and I'm not, maybe I can get somebody from Minneapolis to talk about what they did, but it seems like they were kind of waiting before they, like, rolled it out, and then as soon as they heard something, like the rest of these people, they said, oh, okay, the president said we can't do this no more, so we're not going to do that. And I'm like, really? But here's the kicker. Bruce, his name is Bruce, I'm talking about one of the co-founders of Target. He did not live to see this craziness. He died at the age of 97, I think, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But his daughters, Lucy and Ann Dayton, came out with a statement to say this is not what my dad would want to see. So you have a little tension there inside the family, inside the Target dynasty.
No, they said it's not what they wanted.
Their father,
wanted.
Bruce Dayton, who's one of the co-founders,
right,
of Target, that would not be, he would want diversion, equity,
okay,
and inclusion.
Okay.
And for the Target stores to, like, cut that off, they thought was a travesty to even their father's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that because a lot of times people think folks are consolidated in these places. They don't know that there's tension and division. And here are, you know, Ann and Lucy Dayton saying my father would not want that.
Well, it'd be interesting in terms of if she's really pushing to reinstate the objective. That's the question.
Like, what does she own shares? Is she part of the shareholders? She may not be, but they did issue a public statement saying this is antithetical to what my dad would want.
So, but you know, for me, when he made I'm talking about Reverend Jamal O'Brien, his announcement or what have you, it took me back to the old saying back when Native Americans would say that many of the folks that they were dealing had forked tongues.
Yep.
You know, in terms of the reality that they say one thing and then they do a whole another thing. But then again, it's upon us. Mm-hmm. It's upon black people and poor and progressive folks to say the hell with, I mean, we cannot just allow them to do what they want to do.
Absolutely.
And we cannot step back, allow whatever progress that we have made to go backwards. And so, that's why, you know, it was very important in my, in our organization, Humble Assessment, that we should have been out there at the target trying to inform people because, as I mentioned, a number of people still are not aware of the call for that boycott, as well as the other different kinds of boycotts that's been called for. So if we don't educate, then shame on us. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and I want to thank those who did come out, including the members of your organization and members of our organization, that, and we were out there several hours. And I think it was a very good hit, and we plan on doing some other actions also.
No, I thought it was a good start because, again, we make assumptions as to where people get their news. And most of the time, our people get it from somebody else. They get it from somebody in their family, in their friend circle, or whatever. So everybody's not on social media to see these things. But one of the things that I keep thinking about is, first of all, how do you assess the impact of a boycott? And I know they have lost a bunch of money. That was reported, just like Tesla has lost a bunch of money. But at the end of the 40 days, is the good reverend going to be meeting with them? You know, because here's, I think, the other thing that people are wary of is, like, when you have these boycotts and the company is, you know, on a bended knee because they're hurting financially, then some group comes in and makes a deal for themselves and not for the people. And then you feel like all is lost. What was I involved in that for? So that's why I keep asking, how can we be connected to Reverend in Atlanta so that he knows we are doing something and that it may be somebody in Cincinnati doing something. It may be somebody in L.A. doing something. So he could see the scope of the boycott and be able to negotiate with these people to say, hey, we got 22 cities that are doing this. If you keep this up, but people got to not be buying. And I think right now, what I'm telling people, you shouldn't be buying that much anyway, given what's going on in the White House, because this man is talking about cutting Social Security, cutting Medicaid. Like, we need to be putting some money back for our little nest egg because we don't know. This is an uncertain future. We've never been here before. I'm talking about this generation. You know, people can talk about depression in the 30s, but the folks living now, this is new.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, on your first of all, we undertook this task based purely on principle. And we'll be reaching out to Reverend Jamal Bryan, without a doubt, before our next action, to let him know in terms of this particular action. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be sending some videos of us on the front line. Mm-hmm. And I will be seeking to have a meeting with him, at least by phone or in person. And as you mentioned sometime, and how if, I'm not saying if, when Target agrees to reinstate the programs, what methodology will it be used to, like that $2 billion commitment, how will it be distributed and that kind of thing. Without a doubt, that has to take place. As well as when you were mentioning different cities, just yesterday evening, in fact, I was on a call from different organizations across the country. It was just about four or five, though, actually, which had been called by one of the former national radio talk hosts, Bob Law, mm-hmm. which is trying to also organize other folks in different cities to support the boycott.
Okay.
And I had to, and I provided a report. St. Louis was the first that I know of
okay.
that had hands-on people mm-hmm. on ground mm-hmm. in front of
the a target. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, prayerfully we can make this grow. And once we have a target to do the right thing, we move on to the next target. I mean, the mm-hmm, next mm-hmm. Yeah, target in terms of
right.
the next business.
I know, it's kind of a play on words. You say target. Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, really target.
And, you know, let me just emphasize, too, in terms of the importance of boycotting, you know, within the confines of America, in terms of pushing for some forms of social justice, of course, we do the mass demonstrations, within the legality of law.
Mm-hmm. Which they're trying to make that illegal now. Protests will be illegal before you know it.
Right,
so, yeah.
right.
Well, we still so, can.
You know, there's a our organization after the murder of one of our people here in St. Louis by a racist white police officer, Anthony Smith. Who was killed by Jason Stockley. We, in fact, published a quarterly newspaper where we were calling for different boycotts mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. different businesses. But one of the things that I really, and this was from a another minister, a progressive minister who has transitioned, that he had to, and we were pushing it on the front page of our newspaper, spread the word, "You kill us, we kill your economy," you know. Mm, so, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. and, you know, the system responds when, you know, they lose money.
Disruption of the capital.
Hey, mm-hmm. that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those, and my message to whoever is listening, you know, you have to tell your entire family, first and foremost, that this boycott is taking place. Then spread it among all your friends and contacts. And so we have to spread the word like wildfire mm-hmm. to be able to be successful in this whole effort.
Because this boycott started on March 5th.
Yes.
And so we are, 13 days in? So, you know, people have a chance to get on board and be a part of it. So when we see Target saying it's, we want to negotiate, you can say I was a part of making that happen. And now, you know, black folks are going to benefit. Actually, I say from our own money, because this is money that Target has reaped off of our our dollars. And so so all they're doing is giving it back in a sheltered, tax-sheltered way. So it ain't no skin off their back.
And, you know, if I may interject, another positive thing that he was calling for and had on hand when he made the announcement is for us to redirect our monies, period, in terms of supporting black-owned businesses. So that their effort is also tied in with the Black United States Chamber of Commerce. And if you go to their website, they are listing the various black businesses across America that that you can support, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of ordering products mm-hmm. from those particular
companies. Well, talk more about that, Zaki, because that was one of the things that some of the people who have their product line inside of Target were saying, wait a minute, we're in there. And Reverend had thought about that, and he had a solution for them. So let's talk about that so it's not like we just trying to hurt everybody associated
right,
with Target.
Right, right. So again, I would encourage everybody to YouTube Roland Martin, and then behind his name, put Jamal Bryan, J-A-M-A-L, Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N-T. And his solution was to part of that select group of black businesses to include those businesses that have their products within mm-hmm. the Target stores mm-hmm. so that they can continue to thrive, mm-hmm. you know. And, in fact, I understand one or two businesses in support of the boycott, removed their products anyway in total solidarity.
And to me, Zaki, this is a critical point because too often we don't see the big picture. We see this boycott is hurting me as an entrepreneur, as opposed to if we get this, it's going to be so much bigger and better for everybody, all black folks. And so one of the things I saw on social media was somebody, a black person, complaining about the fact that, you know, this boycott is hurting us. And I said, you know, we think small and we got to think big. We got to think global. If your product is in Target and you move to online, now you have a worldwide market. So, and then people are actually going there because they're being directed to go there. So you shouldn't really be losing money. But I think if people go to the website for the boycott, it's incredible because there's a ticker tape of all of, or not say all, but a bunch of black-owned businesses. So it's not just saying, don't go here, it's saying, don't go here, and here's where you can go, which is different from what we've been doing in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when you raise about that business complaining, you know, part of our struggle to enhance black businesses also is a responsibility of black businesses giving back to the black community, you know, and supporting the various social issues and the causes that, as activists, that we raise to have a better quality of life for our community. So, and then the whole issue, as you mentioned, that they should have a broader perspective of the total impact that it can happen for not just their business, many, many more businesses. Because, again, when we are successful in this boycott of Target, then the next business saying that be targeted, they'll have a second thought and maybe also open up their doors for other businesses and their businesses to expand.
Have a ripple effect.
Yeah, instead of just being at Target, then it can maybe be in Walmart. It can be in all the other, you know, the various major retailers. But at the highest level, we should have some retail stores like a Target, like a Walmart on the ideal level. And so that's
so that our dollars stay in the community longer than they have. I think the last thing I looked at it, you know, they do this thing about how
it turned over with
the turnover. And I think ours was like two or three times, where other
15, 16
races,
times.
It's like 15, turnover, 16 times because it's staying there and it's recycled.
Right.
So we need to bring that up. But, you know, you talked about the other corporations that may be next. There are boycotts. This is according to the Arizona Republic, in that there is going to be a boycott against Nestle from March 21st to the 28th. And I don't know if people know, but Nestle, they got a slew of different products. It's not just about the chocolate. So, you know, I was just amazed. There's also going to be a boycott against Walmart April 7th through the 14th and May 20th through the 26th. Now, I don't know the significance of those particular dates. This is just being reported by the Arizona Republic. Then there's going to be a second economic blackout like there was in February on April 18th. General Mills is going to be boycotted from April 21st to the 28th. Amazon, which people, I mean, it's hard to even get anything offline without Amazon being involved. They're going to be boycotted May 6th through the 12th. Target, again, they've got another June 3rd to the 9th. I don't know who's doing that. And then McDonald's, the big old burger people, June 24th through the 30th. And then Independence Day boycott is July 4th. So that's a lot. There's a lot going on, and I'm sure all of those, if you put them all together, our households use some of those products. So I think people have to focus which one they think they could have the most impact on. I would love to see, based on the work that's been done around Amazon workers and their struggles, for Amazon to, like, you know, have to bow a little bit too.
Right.
But
you know that. For me, on a personal side, and we have not pushed it organizationally, I used to shop at Walmart because,
it's cheap.
But I've stopped, and in fact, we used to shop at Sam's, and I have Just the other day, in fact, we said that they was trying to get us to renew our card. And we said, no renewal, and they were asking why. And we said specifically because of them dropping the DEI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So, you know, it takes personal commitments. We got to practice what mm-hmm. we preach. Mm-hmm. And but again, I'm just targeting in on target mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm. You know, I know it's kind of like a shotgun approach with all the boycotts, but I think if we really narrow our scope mm-hmm. and for those who can also support the other boycotts, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying I'm targeting in on.
No, and I think we should. I was putting that in the context of people are spontaneously saying boycott because right. And even Tesla. I mean, Tesla wasn't on there, but if you've been watching social media, Tesla's taking a beating. I mean,
and
they
that's
are.
A great thing.
Yeah, I mean.
And you know, even on Target, though, there have been reports that their shares have dropped.
Oh, no, their shares have dropped. Their shareholders are like, wait, hold up, y'all. What are y'all doing? Right, y'all messing with our money.
Right.
But Tesla, people are sabotaging, first of all, their own cars. Now, I don't know how you pay that much money for a car and then destroy it. I'm just saying.
You know, those are folks who got and people have to be clear in terms of the structure economically in this country. You know, you have what the Panthers used to call the lumping proletariat
mm-hmm.
who are totally without work, struggling, mm-hmm. and those mm-hmm. are the ones that sometimes use any means like pushing mm-hmm. drugs mm-hmm. and what have you that comes from outside our community. And it really, a lot of rich people are benefiting from the
absolutely.
Drug infestation in our community. Then you got the lower middle class, then you got a middle class, and then they say an upper middle class, and then you just got rich folks, billionaires mm-hmm. like Elon Musk
mm-hmm.
who has no sympathy, none whatsoever, and many of the mega Trump supporters are now finding out how they have been hoodwinked and tricked also because of the downsizing that they're doing throughout the federal government that's impacting people at all kinds of levels.
Ways that we don't even know, Zaki. I mean, when I saw them, really somebody torched a whole lot of Tesla cars, like this, burned them to the ground. I'm like, whoa. And I remember somebody asking Elon Musk, how are you operating your business now? Because, and he said, with difficulty. That was his words, with difficulty, because he sees all this happening. He sees his stock go down. You got to keep those shareholders happy. And I don't know how he's going to do that if people are retaliating. And part of what people see is these folks have been so reckless with the economy. I mean, the tariffs, they've kicked in on countries that are supposed to be our allies, and now they're retaliating. So guess who's going to be caught in between the trade wars? It's going to be the American consumer. And
working poor people.
Working poor people. But here's the thing that I've been reading about that I think may make it easier for us to stomach that, and that is some of these countries are specifically, intentionally, and strategically targeting where they think Trump supporters are. So farmers they're getting them a big tariff on them. I'm like, really? I mean, so people are getting more sophisticated about how they're doing stuff. Well, we ain't trying to hurt everybody.
Right.
We're just trying to hurt the Trump supporters that put you in office. I'm like, that's different. That's so different from the past.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm crying crocodile tears for being facetious.
Yeah.
But you know what? I know we're talking about boycotts, but also we have to understand that there has to be a strong resistance to what Trump is doing. And it's just not, with his tariffs, but also his racist policies toward countries like in Africa, as he just recently, the government expelled the ambassador of South
Africa
to the United States.
Yeah. And say, don't come back here. Don't step back in here again. Wow.
Right.
When has this been ever done before? That's what I'm saying. We are in such uncharted territories. And even the way that he treated the head of a sovereign country, Zelensky, I mean, just really humiliated the man.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, you know, you feel like he's a god, and, you know, and that he has all this power, and that him and
that he's trample, abusing.
Mm-hmm. He don't trample on anybody individually, movement wise, or even the countries, you know. And so, you know,
it's beyond, like, I don't know if you saw the list of countries that he's banned travel from. Almost all of them, is about 40 something, are folks of color. So the only two that
you mean banned from coming here?
Coming here. This is not even like the whole immigrant thing. These are just travel. Like people, I mean, they've almost all were folks of color, like countries of color, black, brown, or yellow.
Oh, wow. No, I mean, this is wild.
Yeah, this is wild.
Yeah. So if it's wild like that, then this is one of the greatest times where, as a race of people and working in conjunction with progressive folks, ideally like the spirits of John Brown back in the day when we were fighting for getting out of slavery and other abolitionists, that we have to organize, bottom line. Mm. And our organization is saying that all progressive organizations that have a track record of speaking truth to power and working to uplift our people need to be filled with folks joining the movement, because mm-hmm. we got to have some armies of righteous people that coming together to say, to resist what's going on. So whoever is listening, if you're not part of an organization or at least supporting an organization financially, if you're afraid to get out in the streets, you know, even with informational picket, you know, some people just scared.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can at least financially support those folks who have the audacity and the nerve to get out there. And if you're not doing that, shame on you. And at some point in time, because I get a lot of calls, and I know you get a lot of calls from folks that, hey, I need
got problems.
Got problems. Mm-hmm. And expect us to run to them. But, heck, if we limit it in terms of membership, cause
and finances.
And finances. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't do the job that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So that's another key issue in terms of going back to the boycott. If you sit on your behind and don't spread the word, or if you violate the call for a boycott, then you're part of the problem. You're part of the whole effort to, I'm going to say, commit genocide. And genocide is really a manifestation of a lot of different things.
Ethnic cleansing going on for real.
Right.
So I think one of the just to build off of what you said, there is so many battlefronts. And what I've been telling people, nobody's asking you to save the world or fight in all these battles, but pick one thing that you are passionate about and join up with other organized people, because now we need to be working not necessarily harder, but smarter. We can't just be doing stuff. That's why, you know, around these protests, I just got a different take on that. Thousands of people in the street without a strategy, without a demand, they'll let us protest till the cows come home, as long as you don't mess with that money. So I mean, because I'm looking at, for example,
I mean,
I talked about this last night,
totally
Zaki. When I saw them tearing up the Black Lives Matter Plaza in D.C., and I saw no signs to say, you know, whatever, whatever. It's almost like we're conceding to this. And I, that's the thing that just makes me feel really, it motivates me, but I feel really sad that people feel like they don't have an outlet. Right. And that's why I say find your people, find your issue, and let's duke it out, but let's be smart about it, because these people are not they can come down, and we can do it either financially or otherwise. And so even if we shame them, you know, some of this also helps in terms of the narrative, because then people don't buy the products. But we can't be passive. We can't be paralyzed by fear or disillusionment. We got to fight back.
You know, and even on the question of fear, and that's the other thing, too, that I appreciated him, Jamal Bryan, calling for that. He was calling for at least 100,000 Christians. And at one point, prior to the actual kickoff of the boycott of Target, they had at least 50,000 people, I mean 60,000 people, I believe, that had already signed on. So that also,
I was one. I'm not a Christian, but I signed
right,
up.
Right, right. Well, you're Christian in spirit okay. in that sense. So, and for anybody who may want to find out more information, you can go to their website,
targetfast.org.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
and you'll see all of the places where you can buy instead of Target, and you could also sign up because we need those numbers to swell. Because every time somebody signs, and they could say, "Hey, we got 100,000 people that says this is messed up."
Absolutely.
So we're helping them to negotiate on our behalf.
And you know another point though, that you had brought up in terms of the tax, a tax on the movement. It's just even right here in the state of Missouri. That you and I, for a number of years as co-chairs of the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression, was pushing for a change as to how the St. Louis Police Department was to be administered. You know, back in the day, you had the governor. It was under the state control of the governor. Only two cities in the state of Missouri, St. Louis and Kansas City, with predominantly black populations, did not have control of their local police departments. It came from the state. We were able to,
after a long, hard fight,
to make it happen.
That's why we have the gray hairs.
I don't have no gray hair. What are you talking
you
about?
You don't have hair. At least I still got some. I still got. Mine is gray. Yes, yes. Yeah, and I'm going to own every last one of them.
But, you know, of hard fight and being successful, now the state then came back and taking control. And in my mind, as we're sitting and talking, I'm saying that has to be we have to do some type of action.
That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. It
because it was the people's will. I mean, we went through almost 20 years of struggle, and every time people say we want control, not just black people, folks said we want control of our police department. And the fact that when they claim crime, blah, 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 and when the argument was presented, crime has gone down, homicide has gone down, so what? We still want the department. So it wasn't really about the crime. It's been about there's been a white, basically a white police officers association that says we don't want to be under anything that's going to have to make us accountable. That's what they've been resisting. So they've been running down there to the governor, running down there to those white legislators, including some of the Democrats. Right. So that's why I want people to get away from this, like, Democrat or Republican thing, because if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck.
Absolutely. And, in fact, you know, Brother Malcolm on the two-party system used to say one is a fox and one is a wolf. They both eat you. but, again, and you're totally correct, just for our audience to know, in fact, just digressing, you know, you and I used to come under attack by the head of the
Police Officers Association,
mm-hmm. Ed Wigger, when his name?
Wigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wigger. Mm-hmm. And as we are testifying, I always share this story, testifying on behalf of the bill, when you have bills that's proposed, you got one side that's speaking for it, and you got another side speaking against it. And we were speaking for it, and then the head of the police union came and spoke against it, and his first thing that came out of his mouth is that I'm against community control of the police department because Zaki Baruti is for it, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And along with that, as I mentioned, the various attacks that you and I had received back in that time. But that has not deterred us. And I say that again, saying to those of you who are listening, everybody got to get involved because this is not no play thing. If their movement had its way, they'll probably have us on the plantation.
Well, remember, he also called us terrorists on his radio program. And see, to me, that's the kind of stuff that Trump was doing for January 6th. You just kind of subliminally put out these messages, and then people start looking at us crazy. Right. Oh, they're terrorists because I heard somebody say that on the radio. So it's a mind game, and we have to be mindful of the mind games and who really is speaking for us and who's been fighting for us. And that is, to me, the proof in the pudding. Don't go by what people are saying. Go by what they've done.
Absolutely. And that's why the kind of program that you're doing today is so essential. because it provides an alternative to the narrative that's put out by many right-wingers. And so it's a struggle of who controls the mind and the kind of information that people receive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for our listeners, it's going to be challenging in the next few weeks. I think one of the things I've been saying, and I had Mayor Tashar Jones on the program, so people know that the Organization for Black Struggle has endorsed her, so just in, you know, true transparency. But one of the things that I'm starting to talk about, and I wrote an article about Make St. Louis White Again, because it's the same message that we see coming across the country where white folks are taking back. And we see it in the White House, we see it in the State House, and now we're seeing it locally because they came after not just the mayor, they came after the comptroller, who's been doing a phenomenal job for 30 years, been keeping AAA ratings, keeping the wolves at the door. Now, how all of a sudden she's got to prove that she's been a steward of our money? So it's about taking the city back. They got rid of Cori Bush. Got somebody in there that basically is paid for by the Zionist.
Paid for, shame.
Yeah, and so we see what's happening, Zaki. We see what's happening, and so people think, the mayor didn't do this, that, and the other. I'm gonna ask people, what do they think? They said the same thing about Biden, and now we got the sexual predator in the White House who
tell me he's a sexual predator? Wait a minute. Not the president of the United States. He's not.
Somebody by the name of Percy Green said every time you say his name, you ought to say convicted felon. And I said, and add on there sexual predator, because women can't be safe around him, neither can your children.
You know what? In fact, on our front page of our most recent newspaper, we had him as a convicted 34-count felon and sexual abuser, what have you. So
now we have to keep saying that and reminding people
absolutely.
Because then it tells the mindset of this person and what he's capable of and what he's already, that's part of his value system. So we could expect more of the same. But, you know, we have to, again, vote, voice, and money. We got a important election coming up, and these folks are trying to take away all that we fought for. And pretty much, if they do it the way they want to do it, it'll be the first time in 40 years that it's been a white board of estimate and apportionment. So we're going backwards, y'all. And so that's where they want to take us back to, instead of 2025 to 1915. And we can't go there. We can't. Our children should not let us go there. And if we're thinking about them, we need to be fighting to move forward. And there's still work to be done.
Absolutely. So in my mind, it goes back to the audience. What y'all going to do? Are you going to just sit down and say, okay, boss, y'all's a boss, you know, in terms of the
Go ahead and make my decisions for me. I don't know nothing, boss. Yeah. Please make that decision. Please plan my future and my kids' future for me. No, we're not going back. We're gonna fight.
Not one step backward. Mm-mm. Moving forward.
Well, that's the motto of the National Black United Front: forward together, backward never.
Right.
And really, we can't go backwards, y'all, because there's nothing there for us if we go backwards. It's pain, suffering, and everything else that goes with that. If you can remember, even pre-slavery, what was it like? And so that's where these people want to take us. They want to erase us off the face of the earth, and they are doing that. They are removing us from boards. They pretty much got an all-white cabinet up there in the White House, even the military. Now, you know, to get high in the military, you got to have danced a whole lot to the tunes of them. And they said, y'all not even welcome here.
Right. I just saw that they had removed some brother who was part of the military, had gotten decorated at the
high. They took his picture off. He don't even exist anymore. Right. That's how they erasing the Zaki. They just go to and say, oh, he used to be there, erased. And I think they got an error message. Like, it's like, this stuff is real. It's real.
I think in the removal, they said something about DEI. you know, trying to associate that.
Yeah, they had something there like that. It's sick. It really
but again,
is sick.
But again, though, it's I can't help but keep repeating myself. Only the changes on the negative side can exist if we do not do nothing. Mm. And you know, it's our God-given duty to, you know, resist. Mm-hmm. And then for those who, when we talk about fear earlier, you know, and this is to my Christian brothers and sisters who may not get on the battlefront because of fear. They say they believe in God, but from what I understand of both the Bible and the Quran, they say fear no man, fear nobody but what? God himself, God himself. Mm. So that's the task. But also, Jamal, I'd be one of just, when we had mentioned the attack on South Africa, we didn't make mention that after years of the colonizers being there, white colonizers, taking over the best land in Africa, there's a slow movement in South Africa to reclaim that land. Mm-hmm. And that's why the United States is beginning to, I believe, place some sanctions on South mm-hmm. Africa. And this is under both administrations, mm-hmm. including Obama, that sanctions were placed against Zimbabwe because after many years mm-hmm. it finally took the position of taking the land back from mm-hmm. the folks who had mm-hmm. seized land mm-hmm. from black folks and giving it back to the black folks.
And a lot of those are corporate, you know, right. predators that are taking right. land.
But there is still hope on the continent of Africa.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I encourage people to begin to do diligent study of what's taking place in what they call the Sahel countries, mm-hmm. which is Burkina Faso, mm-hmm. which has a very powerful young brother who's at the helm of the government, Guinea and Mali, and Togo just recently joined that. So the African countries, when Africa really unites, that also mm-hmm. would help our people right, on the international
right.
level.
Right, and we can't be ashamed of our history and heritage with them. So,
right.
But, yeah, there's a lot that's going on, and I really want to reiterate, what do we want them to do, Zaki, after today, after they hear this show, what are we asking them to do?
First of all, we're asking them to support the boycott of Target, a 40-day fast / boycott of Target. So for the purpose of having Target reinstate its commitments to, first of all, DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Secondly, to reinstate their commitment to invest $2 billion into the black community. Thirdly, their commitment to invest $250,000 into black banks to help black businesses grow. So we're asking you, don't shop at Target moving forward.
Yeah.
My other ask is everybody join an organization.
Absolutely.
You have the Organization for Black Struggle. You have our organization, Universal African People's Organization, and many others mm-hmm. that's out mm-hmm. here. So those are the asks that I'm putting out there for
and
the people.
To me, they're fairly simple. They're fairly simple. They're not going to inconvenience us as much as what we're getting ready to get from the sexual predator and the ex-con and the in the White House, and so he's getting ready to rain on us with some misery and suffering. So this is the least that we can do to defend ourselves. So this is Jamala Rogers. You can see this again, hear this again on by going to JamalaRogers.com. All of the past episodes are there, as well as some of the columns that I've been doing. So it's all there. This is Jamala Rogers, your host, and I will see you.
Can I do a quick advertisement?
Sure.
For those who want to support the boycott of Target, go to targetfast.org. Or also, if you want to join an organization, we say go to our website, which is uapo.org.
Okay. There you have it. So you got your assignment, y'all. Tomorrow, I'll be at the courthouse on Market for supporting our brothers and sisters who are being attacked by the man in the White House. These are our postal workers, y'all, part of the federal government that are being dissed. So let's be there, 10 o'clock tomorrow.